very different than what we've ever done before, and I pray that you'd bless that because of your deep love for moms. On this Mother's Day, Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts and that you would heal, that you would encourage, Lord, that you would set us free. And Father, wherever salvation needs to be, if it's a child today, if it's a mom today, hey, if it's a father today, if it's any one of us today, we pray that you would seize our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, today on this Mother's Day, turning to the book of Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 in our Bibles. And today's message is entitled, A Mother's Day Reward. A Mother's Day Reward. When will a mother receive her reward? I think it's an ongoing thing. I think a mother seems to be like when a mother's pregnant, she seems to be somehow in some other beautiful universe that us guys are trying to figure out how to get in there, but it's not possible. There's this glow about a mom to be. We'll be covering this morning moms who want to be. Grandmas, those who have lost their children. Maybe those who have lost their children even to abortion, and they're wondering, why do I feel this horrible rift in my life? If that was just a piece of tissue. And what can God do for me? Proverbs 23, at the latter end of verse 25, Solomon said, let her who bore you rejoice. Let the mother who gave birth to us rejoice. Of course, obviously, one of the greatest, or if not the greatest, announcement regarding being a mother, Mary, in her Magnificat, spoke in Luke's gospel of the amazing glory of God, that in the mercy of God, He visited her. And she even announced herself in Luke that the Lord had visited her and that He was her Savior. And the Bible speaks warm and lovingly about a mother. In fact, listen to this. William Ross Wallace said this. Often, by the way, Abraham Lincoln gets the credit for saying this, but William Ross Wallace said, and I wonder if you can fill in the latter part of it, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That's not an exaggeration. The hand that rocks the cradle, in time, someone will be raised up out of that cradle, out of that crib, that will rule the world. Fidel Castro had a mother. Joseph Stalin had a mother. Have you read the life of Saddam Hussein? You can read about his life now. He had a mother. It was a horrible life Saddam Hussein lived. Read about his life. He was sexually molested for a great part of his life. He was physically abused terribly. No wonder why he turned out to be a demon in skin. A man victimized and vandalized by life. Listen to this. John Quincy Adams, one of our great fathers in America, said, all that I am, my mother made me. That's a strong statement, is it not? Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mom. By the way, that's a powerful thing, knowing that Abraham Lincoln's mother died when he was just 8 years old. Thomas Edison, you know, light bulb man. He invented a lot of things, but every month we're reminded of Thomas Edison when we I cringe because the summer months are coming to this church and our power bill to run this 300,000 square feet buildings we have, you know, it's horrific. And I think, oh, Lord, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison said, if it had not been for my mother's appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, Mom, listen, that probably means when he was a teenager, I would never have become an inventor. Now, you think about that for a moment. You have got to be extremely creative, obviously bright, but very confident to look into the things that bring about such a change in a culture and a life and make things better for all of us. Edison attributes it to the input of his mother in his life. What a tremendous truth that is. We're going to be looking at three main points, and with these subpoints, this morning, and we're going to be looking at the reward of the mother and the mother's reward. And number one, considering this, and there's no notes today, you can just meditate on these things. I got home too late. There's no time for notes on the screen. Number one is this, that God, in rewarding the mother, it all begins as a call of God. It all begins as a call of God. God, in His genius, established creation, and He built within a mother, or a woman, I should say, the desire to mother. An awesome calling. Now look, let's be honest. 50% or so of this audience today has no idea. I have no idea the longing to be a mom. I don't even want the longing to be a mom. We can't relate to that, guys. But God has ordained the family. God has ordained the home. And before we look at this closely, consider these two verses. Number one, the Lord honors the calling of a mother. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, listen carefully. And you sons and daughters, listen carefully. You'd be glad you're living in the New Testament time. Leviticus 20, verse 9 says, "For everyone who curses his mother shall be put to death, and his mother's, and he who curses his mother, his blood shall be upon his own head." Don't curse your mother. God will come after you. God loves moms. God ordained motherhood. Isn't it radical that, let's be honest, God is God. He wrote the Bible. He can do anything He wants. He could have snapped His finger and descended from heaven and said, "I'm here." He came through Mary. He came through a woman. He came through the birth canal into life. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ came to earth, and that delivery system was a woman. What greater honor could a woman have than the bringing forth of life? It's an awesome thing, and God honors it highly. If that doesn't impress you, how about this? The fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. By the way, again, I have to say, I'm going to take opportunity. I'm going to exploit it every chance I get. I think every smart administrator in schools across America, if they just thought a moment, with all the murder that's taking place in our school systems and all the disregard and all the ill towards authority, listen to the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, that in the days it may be long with you, and that I'll establish you in the land which I have given you. Other places in the Bible, God says, honor your mom so that you live a long life. Wouldn't it be great if kids walked into schools today and saw not only the fifth, but the Ten Commandments? They don't have to believe them or not. They can just see them and realize, wow, I should be nice to my mom. Moms deserve it. You say, "Jack, you don't know my mom." Now, just wait a minute. Hey, listen. He said, "I didn't ask for my mom." She may not have asked for you either. So let's just cut a little bit of grace here right now. God, who's sovereign, and when you look to God and trust in the Lord, you know, listen, I was not born into the best family. Hey, trust God anyway. By the way, the word dysfunctional, have you looked it up? Our culture is really big on dropping that word. Well, I can't tie my shoes because I grew up in a dysfunctional family. Listen, you say, well, that you're hurting my feelings, Pastor. No, I'm hurting all of our feelings because we need to get over this. Because have you ever looked up the word dysfunctional? It means not perfect. I came from a dysfunctional home. It was not a perfect home. If you came from a perfect home, then we are all going home with you today. There is no perfect home. Every one of us have the opportunity, though I don't believe it's the right, every one of us have the opportunity to point fingers at somebody else. It's an opportunity. It's not a right. We need to be very careful about that. We need to love our mothers, even though they made mistakes. And moms make mistakes. Dad makes probably more mistakes. I am one. I can say that. But you know what? Kids are born and they don't have instructions on the toe of their foot. The kid doesn't come out and you turn to page 9 when they go to the bathroom. There's no instructions with a kid. Unless you read your Bible, it helps greatly, right? Obviously. I can buy a lawnmower and it's got 7 pages of instructions. I get nothing with a kid. I got to pay the co-payment, a little bit extra for that. And we take this thing home. What do we do with this thing? This is a human being in our house. What do we do? You've got to pray and seek God. I think a lot of families come to know Christ when they have their first baby. God, what do we do? It's absolutely amazing. Number one thing under the call of God upon a mother is this, that God called moms to nurture the family. And you can go out, we could meditate on this for the rest of the month. And maybe you have it set in your mind, but the Bible says in Numbers 26 that, verse 59, the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed. Say, who's that? She only appears a couple times in the Bible. Seemingly a woman of insignificance. Amram married her. Who cares? Well, she got pregnant. She's a daughter of Levi. She got pregnant by her husband Amram, and down in Egypt, and she had three kids. One of her kids was the name of Miriam. She had another boy by the name of Aaron, and her most famous son was Moses. And that's an amazing story, because when you talk about nurturing, and I want you moms to listen carefully. I want you moms who are suffering this morning to listen carefully to this. Was there not an edict made by Pharaoh that we got to stop these Jews from population? They're repopulating so fast. Egypt, we can't keep up with them. They're going to outnumber us. They're going to take over. Sounds like an immigration crisis, huh? They're being bred. All these Egyptian slaves are growing and growing. They're going to take over. And he says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to kill all the baby boys from this time on. So just start murdering the baby boys at birth. All the Hebrew baby boys, take them out. And the Bible says that the Hebrew women, they're very lively at childbirth. You know what that means? It means that when they go into labor, those kids come quick. It's like, get a mitt out. When the Hebrew lady goes into labor, you better get ready to catch that kid, because it's coming faster, the Bible says, before than the midwives could get there that were appointed by the Pharaoh to take the kid away from the mom and dash their heads against stones to kill them. The babies were coming out, and Jochebed was pregnant, and she gave birth to Moses. And she hid him for 3 months, and he was so cute, and the Bible says that she couldn't hide him anymore. Can you imagine being this mom? There's a death sentence out on her son and all the sons of the Hebrews born in Egypt. He's going to die. She can't bear that. She goes and makes a little boat out of reeds, bulrushes. The word, by the way, in Hebrew is the word we use, the English word coffin. Little play on words there. She placed him in his little coffin and she sent him down the Nile. But Moses had an older sister, Miriam. And the Bible says that she ran along the shore watching to see what would become of the child. That's just like a big sister spying on her baby brother all the time. And as God would have it, imagine the currents. Alligators or crocodiles, which one of those things that hurt, live in the Nile. That little thing, God steering that little boat around alligators or crocodiles or whatever they are, and into the current and into the reeds, and he got stuck. And right along the shore, and the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter was there taking a bath with her entourage, and they saw that basket, and she said, hey, get that basket out of there. They got the basket up, brought it over to her, and when they opened it up, there's this little Moses, and he was just as cute as can be. Just a beautiful little guy, and he started to cry, and her heart was touched. Now watch this. The Bible there says that, and it must have been Miriam, not disclosing her identity in connection with the child, says, oh, isn't that cute little guy? Hey, do you want me to go find a nurse from one of the Hebrew women? Yeah, good idea. Why don't you go do that? So who does she go and get? His mama. Jochebed comes, takes little Moses, and has him from an estimated 3 to 5 years' time. The nursing and weaning process was about 3 to 5 years in Egypt. Jochebed had Moses the shortest amount of time compared to Miriam and Aaron. But which one do you remember the most today? Which one changed the course of human history? Which one did God call out from Egypt? God used Moses so powerfully. And in that space of 3 to 5 years, that mother poured into that child's life the truth of the one true God, not the gods of the Egyptians. Moses grew up all along the way worshiping the Lord God of heaven and earth, the God of the Hebrews. How did she do that? How did he stay true under the most powerful, influential force in the world? He stayed true to Christ or to God, the God of the Bible. Think about that. She poured her life into him. She nurtured him. You can't have a family without the loving, nurturing care of a mom. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." What a great statement that is. A mother is to nurture. Listen, as kids, we look to our moms to nurture. You know what I find amazing? My mom is now gone away. She's with Jesus. But as I get older, the words of my mom and my father both make more sense to me now. In fact, some of us can even admit, you're starting to sound more like your mom and your dad when we say things, right? Shut the door. Turn off the lights. Were you born in the barn? Mark Twain said, it's amazing how we get older. As we get older, our parents become smarter. That's a great word. Did you get that, somebody? Second? Okay. Moving on. Nurturing. Secondly, mothers are called by God to educate. Educate the children. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When does that happen? Predominantly by the mother. The influence of a mother. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a little offended by that. My wife doesn't teach my kid everything. I understand that. But in those nurturing years, there's a connection, there's a growth between the child and the mother that us, even as fathers, cannot relate to. But let's be honest, how many times we as men say, I don't know, go ask your mother. Go ask your mom that. God has called moms to educate the children. The Hebrew babies, this is awesome in my opinion. God would have the Hebrew moms throughout millennia place it upon their heart. When a Hebrew mom takes her baby to nurse for the first time, the mother, as soon as the baby, whatever the term is, mom, to latch on or to get going or to have lunch or whatever it is, the moment mom discerns she's got it or he's got it, they're nursing. The Hebrew mother, notice, the head, the ear is the closest to the mother's mouth, the ear of the child. You know what she does? The Lord, He is God. The moment that baby starts to take nurse, the Hebrew mother says, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. So that child grows up every time knowing that whenever I'm comforted, whenever I'm safe, whenever I'm soothed, whenever I hear the comfort of the heartbeat of my mom and the refreshment and strength and encouragement and nutrients for life, the Lord, He is God. And that's a very romantic, true thing in the Hebrew culture. And how many times has our mothers, in bundling us up to send us off to school or to make sure that our lunch was packed, or I don't know about you, but I dreaded as each school year would approach. I couldn't stand it. I hated it because we'd have to give up some of our school time and go down to JCPenney and get new school clothes for the new year. And I just wanted, like you guys, to wear a t-shirt and shorts. But no, mom had to make sure we looked all nice. Why did she do that? Because she loved us. To take care of us. To nurture us. To educate us. To teach us what it's like to be in culture. To be nice to our elders. And to not beat up on little girls or pull their hair. Mom told us that. My dad never told me not to pull hair on little girls. It was my mom who told me not to do that. Thirdly, God called the mom to defend the family. Mother, you are a defense to the family. You say, wait a minute, I thought the man was supposed to defend the family. In a sense, of course, yes, absolutely. But tragically today, over 50% of America's family. By the way, you want to know how America is going to be in 50 years? Just look at the American family today when over 50% of our family is broken. Tears up a home. The mother's to defend the family in that. As the father is out and providing and doing what he's doing for the welfare of the family, when those children are little, there's a time, there's a brief time that only the mom can put into those child a sense of protection and freedom and safety that would allow them to grow and to develop in their person and their psychology, the way they view things, and their worldview. The protection of a mother, that comes from a heart of love. Where would we be without our moms? King Solomon, not long in power, by the way. King Solomon, do you remember the story where the two women had babies born approximately, maybe the same day, they were the same approximate age, two women having a baby each, and one mother rolls over. What does she do? She kills her baby. She smothers her baby or whatever happens with that baby. She switches the baby with her friend in the middle of the night, and then in the morning says, "Oh, look, your baby's dead. Too bad. Have a nice day." And the woman began to discern, "This is not my child." And so they were brought before the court of Solomon. Now listen to this. We take it for granted because we've read it so many times that it's like ho-hum. This is from heaven. Solomon said, this child's dead. You say it's hers. The one's living. You say it's yours. Well, Solomon says, I don't have time for this. Bring in a sword. The guy comes in, cut this living baby in half. Give part of it to this mom, part of it to the other mom, and they'll both have a kid. And it was okay with the one woman. She said, "Well, that's a great idea." And one mom said, "No, don't. She can have it. She can have the baby. Take the baby." And Solomon said, "Well, it's obvious. Take that baby from that woman and give it to this woman, because this one obviously is the mother." Why? Because she would be willing to give up the child for its own life, that it might continue. And in that moment of divine genius, that wisdom, by the way, and that ruling spread around the world. A mother is there to defend a child. And we do it all the time. I say, you moms, do it all the time. In counseling your children and speaking to them and giving them an advice. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." A mother provides for the home. And if that home is broken, maybe the husband, the father, has left that house. I just want to say this. I don't want to get into details. But I believe that God has called the mother to defend that home. If that man leaves, that mother is to defend those children. What are you saying, Pastor Jack? Turn on Wild America or Discovery or the Nature Channel and see what happens when some big dumb bear comes walking down the creek bed and there's a mama with her cubs. Did you know that a boar, that's the male, will take out, he'll go eat those little cubs, he'll kill them. He won't eat them, he'll kill them. But that doesn't happen very often, because you know what she does? She will even sacrifice her life for the protection of those little cubs. And if, look, this is my opinion. If you want to write me a note, mister, write it crystal clear and state your name and phone number. But if a man abandons his home and leaves that mother to raise those kids, he's a coward. And I don't care what his excuse is, he's less than a man. The Bible says he's worse than an unbeliever. Amen. And listen, the burden that selfish action delivers upon the psyche and the life and the spiritual development of those children will affect them for the rest of their life and their generations after them. And it puts a burden on the mother. Burden, obviously, the children. And who picks up your delinquency? Those sitting in the church. Help keep her fed and help keep her from losing her home and help the kids get school clothes or have a lunch. Mom, defend your kids. We love you. We need you to defend your kids. And many of us who are children today are here because a mom stood up and defended us when we were little. And it wasn't easy. God help the American family. It's out of control. Secondly, the reward of a mother continues throughout all her life and beyond, in my opinion. A mom's job begins just in the heart alone. And you say, "Pastor Jack, this message, I'm grateful for those women who can receive this, but I lost my baby just three months into pregnancy. I lost my child, or I lost my child just 2 years after she was born." Somebody might say today, "Pastor, I aborted three of my children." Listen, my friend, God loves you. You've asked Him to forgive you of all these things in this life. Listen, He will not withhold forgiveness. And listen, those things that you did, maybe you were pressured into them. Maybe you thought it was the right thing to do. Maybe you were young and ignorant or whatever. Even if you've lost your child by an accident, you've cursed God. How could you take my baby? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 and 2, that God takes the innocent from the earth and receives them, and no one takes it to heart to understand that God delivers them from the wickedness of this world. I understand, and I've seen moms weep and fathers weep over the loss of a child. But those babies go into the arms of Jesus, and you will see that child again if you know Christ. That child's there. Will you be there with that child? There can be a great reunion It continues throughout of life. The mother's bond is never broken if you're a mom. Even if you lost that child, the bond is never broken. I presided over a service not maybe a month or two ago where there were moms who lost their children through the deception of abortion. Some of them recently, some of them 20 years ago. And they didn't have closure. And they gave those children that they lost a name. And they had a memorial service for those babies. And they offered them up before the Lord. And they, in their hearts and minds, said, Lord Jesus, now Sarah's with you. And I know that, Father, and I thank you. Closure. If it's just tissue, what's the deal? God gave life and it's a spiritual event. That's why it affects us the way that it does. And we need our mothers like never before. And if you and I have a relationship that's broken with our moms, do we name Jesus? Don't raise your hand. Do you claim Christ? Would you say today, I'm a Christian, but your mother and you have a rift? Well, Pastor, you don't know our dilemma. I don't care about your dilemma. Reach out to your mom or reach out to your daughter and your son. Use this service as an example or an excuse. Hey, listen, I heard this message today and I'm calling you to tell you that I care. But bridge that gap. It's not worth taking it to your grave or letting them go to their grave. We are to honor our moms. The bond continues. It's never broken. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 says, and all these words I command you today shall be in your heart. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 goes on. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit down and when you are in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you get up. You can't do those things without a mom. It's your mom's. Go brush your teeth. Put your jammies on. It's time for bed. Now, in my house, my mom would say, brush your teeth, go to bed. If I didn't listen, my dad never said a word. He just enforced what she had said. All I had to hear was, honey, will you tell him to go to bed? Oh, it never came with words. But think about that. Who's there to fulfill Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7? It's the predominant of the place of the mother. The mom is with that baby so much. Dads, listen, dads, husbands, we need to encourage our wives, our moms. The most amazing job in the world. If that proverb's true, and it is true, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Then dad, husband, we need to support these moms, these wives of ours. Someone will say, well, you know, I hear all that you're saying, but, you know, I've got all these things going on in my life and I've got all these other things. I've got to be at the club and I've got to get this done and that done. And, you know, we have a babysitting network. Hey, listen, I guess you have to have babysitters from time to time. I understand that. But when I hear this kind of stuff, you know what? It's okay because we have quality time with our children. Do you think that's for real? Oh, yes, because we make it really good. It's only, you know, an hour a week, but it's really good. Did you know, by the way, folks in the family did research and found out that the father of a home spends on the average 30 seconds of face-to-face contact with their child per day. 30 seconds. 30 seconds face-to-face. They may be in the same house, but only 30 seconds face-to-face. But listen, it's quality time. You think that's for real? That is a lie created by the pit to try to make us feel better who are too busy for our kids. And we need moms. And I'm grateful for you moms. Imagine going to work tomorrow. You tell your boss, if that logic works, you go tell your boss tomorrow morning, hey, I know I'm here. I'm on time. It's 8 o'clock. But I'm only going to work till 10:30 today. Because I got other stuff to do. But from 8 to 10:30, I'm going to give you quality time. You see how long you're employed, huh? Hey, Junior, listen, I know you keep filling up your pants and you burp all over yourself and you look like a bald-headed little old man. You can't do anything for yourself. But I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to provide for you. And I know all along the way, I'll make mistakes. I won't be perfect. But that's where God's grace comes in. I'm going to see to it that I pour into your life the best I can. I want you to grow up to be the best girl, the best boy in the whole world. And a mom will give her life for that. And you've given your life for that. You say, well, Pastor, my kids didn't turn out the way that I wanted them to. There comes a point in time, my friend, when your children, we as children, will stand responsible to God alone for our decisions. The mom and dad are done. But many moms will carry it and carry it and carry it. Mom, you're free. With your adult children, they need to now step up and trust God and live for Him. But your bond will never be broken with your child. A man doesn't understand that. Fathers, we don't have that. We're the ones who are asking, when are they going to get married? When are they going to get going? And then there's a mother's presence. A mother's presence defines the home. She sets the atmosphere for the home. You are powerful. You define what a home feels like and sounds like and how it grows up by your presence there in that home. The mother is so incredibly powerful. Proverbs 29:15 says, now listen carefully, ushers, watch the doors. Especially if you're a state legislature or somebody from Sacramento, you're going to freak out over this. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. There's some undisciplined, uncorrected nincompoops in Sacramento who want to make you disciplining your child illegal. And there's a big effort in Sacramento that if you discipline your child, you can be charged with child abuse for disciplining your child. Now, hear me out. Is there child abuse present in our society? Yes, it's horrible. It's coming from people who don't know God and don't understand God because they haven't been touched by the love of God. It's not right. But don't make discipline and correction wrong because people can't handle their own lives. The Bible says you leave a child all to himself and he'll grow up to be a brat. You know who admitted this now? Have you ever heard of Dr. Spock? He said now, I've been wrong. Oh, thank you. After 40 million brats are running around under your leadership. He said, no, if you discipline a child, they're all going to grow up to be violent people. And it's funny, the violent people in prison say, I didn't have any input from my parents. When it says to discipline your child, it doesn't mean beat your child. It means, Johnny, listen, remember I told you today before I left for work not to paint the dog? Yes. Did you hear me? You heard me say not to paint the dog, right? Yes. Why'd you paint the dog? Because you weren't here. Because I wanted to. Do you understand what you did? I disobeyed you. Okay, Johnny, you're going to be spanked right now. I'm going to spank you right on the rear end there. That's why God made it a big bubbly part there. Now, for some of you who have been abused in life, you can't even handle what I just said. You've been so tainted by wrong. You've been so corrupted by wrong. You just recoil at that. You can't even. I understand that. I feel for you. Listen, I grew up in a pretty, I wouldn't say violent, but man, if you cross the line, you paid the price. If you know what I mean. However, now I wouldn't change a thing. I deserved, I think, every bit of it. But I have to tell you something. There is something absolutely true. And those of you who have had psychology and social rearing of a child, and when a child is disciplined to the level necessary, which immediately excludes abuse, when that little kid's going, Mommy, I'm sorry I painted the dog. Daddy, I know I'm sorry I painted the dog. Oh, I love you. Have you ever seen them do that so cute? I love you. Look, 90% of the whole thing's over. That's it. You have to go like this. Well, now you go to your room. That's it. They're devastated. Go to your room. I'll be there in a moment. Listen, psychologists know today that a child who is handled that way grows up to be the healthiest, most socially balanced child in the society because they don't live with guilt. The price was paid for crossing the line. They grow up normal. Can you imagine, officer, I didn't mean to go 150 and a 35. That's a nice badge you have. Shiny badge, shiny badge. There's only one thing that applies. You get the ticket, you won't do that again. Okay? It's important. The wisdom of a mother guides us. This is great. Abraham Lincoln, his mother, as I said earlier, died at the young age of 8 years old. But you know what he said? And I quote, Abraham Lincoln said, "Whenever I'm tempted to do evil, I can hear my mother's voice." He was only 8 when she died. He said, "I can hear her voice say, 'Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie.'" What was Abraham Lincoln's nickname? Honest Abe. Abraham Lincoln said he got that from his mom. Isn't that awesome? You and I have gotten so much from our moms. You say, "Well, you're not talking about the dads." Come back in June when it's Father's Day. Gee whiz. The wisdom that guides a child. Leviticus 19:3 says, "Every one of you should revere your mother." God honors the place of a mom. It's sad how our society makes fun of moms, demeans mothers. And everybody had a mother. Isn't that weird? Hollywood makes fun of moms. But Hollywood had a mother. I mean, people in Hollywood. Hollywood didn't have a mother. But people in Hollywood had a mother. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 and Proverbs 15, 20 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his mom." Isn't that true? Her heart's broken. Have you caused your mom's heart to be broken? You need to ask her for forgiveness. Proverbs 15, 20 says, "A foolish man despises his own mother." And then thirdly, final point, but it's a long one. A mother's reward, it never ceases to influence. Mom, what you're doing, listen, I watched my wife from the beginning. I mean, there's something from the beginning. And she homeschooled our kids. She homeschooled our kids in the start when I wasn't for it. And you guys, for my wife to homeschool our kids who are in their early and mid-20s now, when you homeschool kids in those days, you were nuts. But you know what? My kids never had to deal with drugs and bombs and guns. And they're not too dumb. You know what I'm saying? They did great. And they're doing great. And that worked for our house. I'm not saying it works for your house. But it worked for our house. But one of the things that blew me away was Lisa, so young. We're coming up on 30 years of marriage. So young, she said, "You know what? All this," she's nursing Rebecca. We're staying up all night. Rebecca was very sick for about the first 9 months of her life. We were up all the time. We looked like, you know what? Family pictures of us, because we never got any sleep, we looked like heroin addicts. Our eyes were black. And every picture was like this. I kid you not. Lisa blew me away. Young mom, she said, "You know what? All this, I'm not to be thanked now for this. I'm not going to get a thanks for this for years." That freaked me out. Dude, I want to be thanked for what I did now. You're not going to be thanked for years. That blew my mind. Mom, you're like that. But God will reward. If the world does not reward you, if your own children do not reward you, God will reward you. He's faithful. Mom, your influence will forever shape a son. Listen carefully. We're running out of time. I've got to be direct on this. Timothy, in the Bible says clearly that Timothy was influenced by the faith and the direct contact that he had regarding his faith with his grandmother and mother. Doesn't mention anything about Timothy's father. We don't even know anything about Timothy's father. Paul says, "He's my son in the faith." Kind of makes you think that Timothy didn't have a dad or his dad left him. And Paul stepped in there in later years, you know? Moms influence their sons and shape their sons. Moms, listen, you're the one that we need to hear from to say, this is how you treat a girl. Moms know stuff. Moms have eyes in the back of their heads. I remember I grew up in a non-Christian home and I didn't know anything about Christianity. And when I would bring a girl home that I had met or that I was dating, I'd bring her home. My mom, every time, it actually just really bothered me. My mom would say, after that girl would leave, she's not good for you. It's not that she's not good enough for me. That's not what my mom meant. She'd made it very clear. She's not good for you. What do you mean, Mom? I know what she wants. What? You know what I mean. You had to listen carefully to my mom. She spoke pidgin English. She was born and raised in Hawaii, Portuguese, barefoot all her life. She was hard to understand. Little tiny thing. But she knew people. And she knew every girl I knew somehow before I knew that girl. And then I brought Lisa home one day. And my mom, true, my mom, this is a good one. That's the first time I'd ever heard that. I figured, you know what? That's it. Get here. You want it? I went and bought a ring. Mom, tell your sons how to treat a girl. Dads can do it to a certain point. Moms, you got the inside track. Sons need to know. Talk to your kids. Talk to your son. And listen, Mom, you have the influence to mold your daughter. You have been molding your daughter, how she will treat her husband by how you treat your husband. She is watching you, Mom. She is learning from you, Mom. She is mimicking you. It's the way God engineered our incredible DNA. We were built with the code written, and then God made us so incredibly advanced that we are able to be written upon. We watch and learn as children and absorb, and then we often become what we've observed. It's absolutely amazing. It's a miracle. George Washington said, as you heard, it's my mom that's responsible for the way that he was brought up. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:26, she, the mother, opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over her ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. That means no Oprah. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Isn't that cool? We need moms. Third here under this, Mom, your influence will forever be a legacy. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. I like that. Now look, your father just gave you some instruction. Now I'm going to lay down the law. I'm the mom. Did you guys ever see that movie? I shouldn't endorse movies because I don't remember what's in the movie, if it's bad or not. It's been so many years, so forgive me in advance. There's a scene that is absolutely classic in this movie called My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And the mother, they're talking about husbands and all this stuff, and she goes, look, he may be the head, referring to the husband. But I'm the neck, and I know how to turn the head. That's great. The mom has got a place. Listen, my friends, listen, if you're not familiar with biblical Christianity, if you don't know your Bible, there is no other document, there is no other book in all of the world. You go search and see. Go read the words of the cults. Go read the words of whatever. You'll never find the freedom, the endorsement, and the acknowledgement that the God of the Bible places in the Bible advancing the cause of a mother and the value of a woman. Absolutely awesome. You're to be honored. The influence of a mother is a forever legacy. And so the Bible tells us that here is Jochebed. She sends her son down the river not knowing, no doubt committing him in the hands of the Lord. Now she has him back for 3 to 5 years. And it's pretty cool, because you know what? She got her baby boy back. His life was saved. She took him home. She nursed him. And the Bible says in Exodus 2 verse 9 that Pharaoh paid her to take care of the baby. She's taking care of her own kid. And the Pharaoh's paying for it. Only God can do that. Mom, listen. Mom who wants to be. Mom who can't be. It's in your heart. I don't understand why a family who doesn't even want kids has got all the kids, and a family who doesn't have any kids wants them so bad. I don't understand that stuff. But I know this. I know this in our faith. In whom we believe. Do you want to mother a child and as of yet you don't have your one of your own? There's a lot of kids who need a mom now. They need your arm around their shoulder. I don't care. It may be in Sunday school here. It may be in the children's program. It may be some kid down in Pomona somewhere in the homeless outreach. Maybe it's a neighbor kid who just ain't got a good life. But you're the grandma or you're the young lady who hasn't yet had a child. Listen, don't wait until you have that opportunity. Because God's love is in your heart, make the opportunity. Go reach them. There's so many children or latchkey kids or abandoned children today. Reach out to them. Kids are in need. America is in deep trouble. And the love of a mom and a dad can turn this nation around. But I believe strongly, for those of you who are carrying that pain, please receive this. You might be saying today, I lost my kids, or I can't get pregnant anymore, or I can't get pregnant at all, and I don't know what, or I'm a grandma, and all my kids are gone. Don't sit around and lament that. I understand that. It's a fact. It's true. But listen, get up and find a little one to love. Is it adoption? Is it foster care? Is it just visiting the local school at lunchtime to make sure the kids, you know, or drinking out of their straw on the right end or whatever? Come on. The influence is amazing. When someone just says to us, you know what, you can do that again. Try that again. They don't hear that often. It's an amazing thing. I want to end with a story. It's a great story. I think I've told you guys this story before, but talk about just the legacy. There was a woman back in England called Molly Walsh. That was her. She was a slave. She was a black slave in London. And she was milking a cow for her master. And when she had the bucket filled up, have you guys already heard this story? It's awesome. Some of you already, I've said it before, but it bears repeating on this day. The cow knocked over the bucket of milk. Problem is, in England, for a slave, that's punishable by hanging. You die for that. Have you ever heard the term to kick the bucket? Came from that situation. When you kick the bucket, you die. Have you ever heard of do not cry over spilt milk? There was no use crying over spilt milk because you were condemned to death. No use crying over spilt milk. You die. Molly Walsh was off to die. And right before they were going to hang her by the neck, she had secretly taught herself to read. It was unheard of in London in the late years of 1600 for anybody to read. She taught herself how to read. And she said, I can read! They were shocked. And they did for what's the calling of the book. They said, bring the book! Guess what book it was? They brought the Bible, and she turned to the book of Romans, and she started reading about the grace and forgiveness of God. They were so convicted and shocked, they said, we don't know what to do. Obviously, you have incredible value as a learned slave. We can't kill you. What are we going to do? There's this thing going on, this place where we're starting to colonize called America. You are therefore banished to America. As your sentencing. They banished her on a slave ship to America. She got to America and she was a slave, but for 7 years, she was an indentured slave for 7 years and she was reading books. She taught herself how to farm, reading books. At the end of 7 years, she collected some money from little hobbies that she had and she bought some land. Then she bought some more land. Then she bought some more land. She was married, she had a child. On it goes, talking legacy. She had a grandchild. If you go to Ellicott City, I think it's Virginia. Does somebody know? Is it Virginia or Maryland? I forget. If you go there today, there's a national monument there to a man by the name of Benjamin Banneker. We're not taught much about Benjamin Banneker, if at all. You got to go to homeschool to get taught about Benjamin Banneker. Benjamin Banneker was an incredible man, right arm guy, regarding the geographical layout of Washington, D.C. He was commissioned by George Washington because he was a brilliant mathematician, self-taught and homeschooled by his mom. He grew up to publish the first almanac for Maryland. He's revered as one of the greatest scientists America has ever produced. A beautiful black man by the name of Benjamin Banneker changed the course of this nation. He has mathematical problems that to this day very few people have figured out, but some have. He was a genius. Self-taught, influenced by his mother, his legacy continues. Benjamin Banneker. Who would have heard? Who's heard? Listen, at the end of our lives, may we influence someone for good. And who will hear? Who cares who hears? God knows. And God knows the heart of every one of you precious women who've had the opportunity to be a mom or not. God knows the longing of your heart. My mom, as I said, is in heaven today. I wish I could greet her. But it's okay with me. I'll see her soon. But while you have opportunity, you thank your moms. And all those petty things that you've got stored up, get rid of them. Both mom toward your children, and certainly children toward your moms. And be ye reconciled to Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that by your Spirit, there is no reconciliation, says your Scriptures, without the blood of Christ. There is no forever forgiveness. There's no entrance to heaven without the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, today we pray that you would bind up the brokenhearted, that you would set free those that have been held captive. And today, Lord God, decisions would be made for the Lord Jesus Christ. Moms, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, grandmas and grandpas, today you can say right where you're at, Lord Jesus, be the family leader of our home. Be the Savior of our lives. Forgive me of my sins, O Lord. And may you heal, restore, bless, and bring back. Today, my friend, you can say yes to Jesus Christ right where you're at. And if that's your decision to believe that He died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead, you tell Him so right now, right where you're at. And I would love to hear about that today. You tell me. You let any one of us pastors know that. As we close right now, Father, we thank you. Bless, Lord, this day of these, your precious women. And especially these moms. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand.